House Committee on Environment and Energy, Wednesday, April 15, 1987, 1 p.m., Hearing Room E. Public Hearing and Possible Work Session, House Bill 3019, House Bill 3125, House Bill 3327, House Bill 2906. Work Session, House Bill 2022.
Yeah, he thinks he's got it made. Wait till he finds out he hasn't.
Sounds okay.
Includes everything, you know.
I'll call this session of the House Environment and Energy Committee to order. The clerk will note that all the members of the committee are here. The first item on the agenda is Bill Dixon here. Bill, would you come up? We have a bill that we would like to have introduced, which I got requests for drafting and for introduction from the speaker, requests from the Energy Department. And Bill, if you would briefly indicate to the committee what's the nature of the issue.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill Dixon, and I'm with the Oregon Department of Energy. This bill would ensure that the cleanup of the abandoned uranium mill in Lakeview is completed, and we ask that you introduce it. The 1979 legislature authorized us to cooperate with the federal government in the cleanup of the abandoned uranium mill. We developed a cleanup plan that exceeds the existing federal health and safety standards, and the plan won support of local jurisdictions and the local public. Consequently, in 1985, you authorized funding to begin the cleanup. Prior to starting the cleanup, we asked the Attorney General's office to advise us on whether a state license is required. The Attorney General's office said a state license is not needed. The project must be licensed by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission upon its completion, and NRC has been working with us through the project and is satisfied with the cleanup work. So last summer we began the cleanup. We're about one-third of the way through. Work has temporarily stopped because of winter weather, and we hope to restart the cleanup in about 1 month. The cleanup will be complete either late this fall or next summer. After we began the cleanup, Lloyd Marbette challenged the need for a state license. On March 25th, the Court of Appeals issued a decision that was contrary to the Attorney General's opinion. The court opinion dealt with vagueness in the existing state law. It didn't consider the intent of the 1979 legislature, the merits, or the public health consequences of its decision. So we are appealing that decision to the Supreme Court. We're moving the waste about 7 miles from the old mill site. Therefore, right now we have two unfinished sites. If we leave the project this way, the sites could pose health and environmental threats. Also, we've worked hard to secure federal funding for the project. If we delay, we may lose the federal funding, and the federal program does expire in 1990. So this bill would guarantee that the cleanup at Lakeview will not be stopped on a procedural issue. It clarifies the intent of the 1979 legislature that we cooperate with the federal government to clean it up. The 79 legislature never intended us to try to regulate the federal government on this cleanup project. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions? Again, we'll be introducing at this point. My intent, however, would be that as soon as we get it back with a number and it's been introduced in the House, that we would hold a hearing as soon as possible on it, and at that time we can pursue further the merits, demerits, or the specifics of the proposal. Is there any objection to introducing it as a committee bill? All right, we will go ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that takes care of that. Let me give you an idea of the timing this afternoon and how we will proceed with the items on our agenda. We have public hearings on several items, HB 3019, which relates to the Shoes River Scenic Highway, HB 3125, relating to weatherization programs, HB 3327, relating to tax credits for alternate energy devices, and HB 2906, relating to solar access ordinances. We will go late. Unlike Wednesday of last week, however, it would be my desire that we don't take a long break for dinner, that we take a couple of shorter breaks this afternoon and go into the period beyond 5 and hopefully terminate around 6. We do have several items, so that I would ask people, as you give testimony, we do want to hear everyone who wants to talk to the committee, that you make it as brief as possible. If some of the comments you have to make have already been made, if you would shorten what you have to say so that we can speed it up. Your case before the committee is best served if you don't take forever getting about it. So let me, with that, we will start with House Bill 3019, the Deschutes River Scenic Waterway. And let me indicate a couple of items. We have a bill for work session, House Bill 2022 relating to tire recycling, and we're waiting for some last-minute copies of that. When that comes in, sometime in the middle of the afternoon, even if we're in another hearing, we will take we will adjourn that hearing for the moment and try to complete that while all of our members are here, and then continue the hearing on the other issue. Members will get up and leave and move around because they have work on other committees. When they do that, don't take it as an insult on your issue. We will hear you out and do the best we can with it in terms of the time frame we have available to us. With that, I will open the public hearing on HB 3019, and I would ask Representative Fallbush and Representative Hostica if they would come forward.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Wayne Fawbush, we did receive our orders just prior to that. We will be as brief as possible because there are a number of people who have been dealing with this issue for a number of years. You have before you House Bill 3090, which is a recognition of the continuing effort by both the state and private citizens to use and develop for everybody's benefit one of the state's major natural resources and one of our growing attractions, and that is the Deschutes Scenic River. For those of you who have traveled that river, you know the value of it, both as a scenic area, and fishing area, upland game recreation area, and if you remember over the last two or three biennium, the state has been involved in major purchases of property along the Deschutes River, so that now the 12 miles from the mouth of the river upstream, both sides of that river are now in public property in perpetuity and are managed for that reason. You have a number of types of experiences on that river, all the way from the near isolation on the lower river that can only be accessed basically by boat or by walking in. Excellent fishing on the stream banks all along that river, to a very high recreational use of that river in the upper areas. You have a multitude of different types of uses. That has created a great deal of pressure, both on the river as a river experience, on the fish in that river, and also with the adjoining landowners, who have in many ways been forgotten in this process. And we only remember that they exist when a fire starting in the bottom of that canyon tends to leap up over the edge and burn down some of my constituents' fence lines and grain fields. That's something that we would also like to acknowledge. Now, how do we deal with that resource? How do we meet the conflicting demand? We're recommending today the establishment of a commission of citizens composed of the various interested groups on the river, that these people will be the management agency responsible for developing the plans on the Deschutes River. There are obviously still a number of issues that have not been resolved, all the way from whether or not jet boats have a place on the lower river, whether or not there should be restrictions on the upper river, how do you treat the special circumstance of the Warm Spring Reservation's lands along the river, how do you deal with some of the other private property on the river, what do you do with the very high use areas on that river during the summer months when you can almost walk across the river on the boaters that are there. All of those different questions need to have a focal point where people can come together and long-term develop those plans. Now, in the legislature, we have done several things, but it is still not a unified approach. What we would like to suggest today is that you consider setting up a permanent approach to the long-term management of one of the state's finest natural resources. That's the essence of it today. You will hear, Mr. Chairman, from a number of people who have some amendments to suggest to the basic bill. Let me just flag a couple of the issues that are incorporated in the bill before you. First of all, should we set up a commission as originally planned in this bill, or an advisory committee to the State Parks Commission as the State Parks people will suggest to you? Should we put in, as I'm recommending and as several people led by Ron McDermott from Sherman County, a wheat grower in that area, put into the language a concern for the fire protection for the local landowners? That to those of us who live in that area year-round, that is a major issue. And also in the bill is a new fee structure, and I think that is also a point that you will want to discuss. Whether or not all of the people who use the river, whether you walk in, whether you fish, whether you picnic along it, or whether you boat down it, do all of the users of the river pay an additional fee rather than the present system of just the people who happen to float on the river paying that fee? Those, Mr. Chairman, are the issues incorporated in the bill. There is another bill on the Senate side that has an additional issue, one of restricted access, especially in relation to the Warm Springs reservation properties in that area of the river. That, I would suggest, is an additional issue. We do not address it in this bill. We think it's important that this group be set up, be given the responsibility to face these ongoing issues, and that's where the decision should be made on those level of items. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. As you know, Representative Farbush, this has a subsequent referral to revenue. It's, I suppose, fortuitous that you've got the chairman of that committee on your bill. So. Representative Hostick.
We thought it would be appropriate, and also Carl is a co-sponsor and very interested in the fate of that river.
It doesn't. Apparently doesn't, she said. I thought it did. Yeah, well,
it never hurts anyway.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Carl Hostick, State Representative from District 40, Eugene. I'm here basically just to say a few things about why I think that the 3019 approach of setting up a commission to deal with many of the issues is an important approach. Over the years, the portion of the Deschutes River, actually the entire Deschutes River, has been an area of increasing conflict, and it's conflict between people and the natural environment and people and people. And as that part of the state develops and the activities, the recreational activities of that part of the state become increasingly important, we can probably expect that that conflict is only going to increase over time. I've been in the legislature now three sessions and voted on dozens of bills that deal, not dozens, but a number of bills that deal with the lower Deschutes and various aspects of the Deschutes, and it wasn't until last weekend that I'd actually seen the portion, and only a small portion of the river, which I had voted on. And I still bear some of the evidence of that.
You went with Representative Choa's group?
Yes.
Okay.
The point I'd like to make, though, is that the question that's in 3019 and that is probably going to be posed before this committee is, what is the appropriate place for decisions to be made and conflict to be resolved regarding the river? Is it the legislature, which involves 90 different people from all over the state, and as I pointed out, many of whom have never been there, and if they have, they've only been there for a short period of time and don't have any direct experience with the full range of the conflict, or should it be resolved by the people who are intimately involved? And I think that the reason why I've chose to be a sponsor on 3019 and then testifying is because I believe those decisions are best made by the people who are closest to the issue, and that the legislature is probably not the appropriate place for most of the issues to arise. I think 3019, obviously, after you hear all the testimony, you'll probably find that it can be improved, but it does have the proper framework of setting the overall policy objectives and then setting up a mechanism for the local people to make decisions about the management within the objective set by the legislature. I think that's an appropriate division of responsibility,
and urge your favorable consideration of this bill.
Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions of the two witnesses? We appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, just one additional point. When the amendments that are to be suggested by Mr. McDermott, I am in full support of. I'd like to see those given some consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, I would like to call Pansy Nofziger, Ray Baker, and is it Mike Kelly?
Sally,
but the first name is Mike.
Yeah.
Sally, okay. Shirt-tail relative.
Here's the last. No.
Welcome.
Mr. Representative Cease and members of the Environment and Energy Committee, I'm Pansy Nofziger, author of HB 3019. I'm a member of Northwest Rafters Association, an association of private boaters. I am also a member of the Governor's Scenic Waterways Advisory Committee. I live at 28 Oregon Yacht Club, Portland, Oregon. I have known and loved the Deschutes as a camper, hiker, and whitewater rafter since 1965. My foremost goals are to protect the resource and provide a quality recreation experience for all Oregonians. HB 3019 does these things. First, I would like to examine why we need 3019, then explore the positive growth it provides, and end by describing why and how the users need to be involved. This bill has been endorsed by several groups: Northwest Rafters Association, the Deschutes River Public Outfitters, Lower Columbia Canoe Club, Northwest Steelheaders Association, Oregon Guides and Packers, Whitewater Boaters of Oregon, and many of these organizations are represented here today. As well, many of the commissions of the cities on the in the neighboring area there have endorsed it. I received a phone message that Culver, Metolius, and Madras City Commissions have endorsed the bill. The current system is not working. Yes, things are happening. The agencies are doing as good a job as they can under the circumstances. But how good a job can anyone do if they have no plan, no direction, no goal? There is no long-term plan for this recreation resource. The original task force recommendations are still the major management document. Without a comprehensive plan, patchwork solutions to problems are the order of the day. It is a case of do as much as you can with what is left of the budget. We had a tremendous opportunity to purchase land on the Deschutes for all Oregonians. It was too good an opportunity to pass by. While important, this land purchase diverted much needed funds from other projects. Without a comprehensive plan, it takes too long to get important things done. We could have had the excellent emergency fire regulations years ago and perhaps saved many acres from burning. We need to improve our education program. There's no single agency with the ability to concentrate solely on the Deschutes. The new Deschutes Commission would help coordinate and communicate agency efforts. We need to have the agencies working very closely together to accomplish common goals to go forward rather than tread water. There is little ongoing involvement of users. Users have been asked to respond to studies and public hearings. Users have shared many good ideas and have said many times what they want on the river. Some of these desires have been satisfied, many have not. Advisory committees are what they're called, advisory. They have little or no power. The Scenic Waterway Advisory Committee spends an inordinate amount of time discussing the Deschutes River. The committee has other responsibilities to do as well. Studies that have been held are less and less helpful as they are set up to provide support for agency-desired management policy rather than to provide objective results to form a sound basis for a management plan reflective of user needs and the needs of the resource. The commission provides for positive change. The commission is another layer of government, yes, but it is self-supporting financially and is created to fill a need. The current managing agencies do not like the idea of a commission. This commission is created not to take over the responsibilities of the agencies, but rather to enhance them, to add deeper dimension to what the agencies are doing. The commission will make the agencies' jobs easier by giving them direction and assisting them in getting on with their work. The commission will work best for the resource and the users. It will develop a long-term comprehensive management plan in cooperation with the agencies that will protect the ecological health of the resource and provide for quality recreation experiences for the users. The potential for the river and its users has never been reached. We haven't done the best we can in preservation, conservation, education, or management. This commission is a chance for all parties to maximize the quality of their caring and love for the Deschutes River Recreation Area. A long-term comprehensive management plan is a necessity. We need to plan for the future to decide what our basic purposes and desires for the Deschutes area are. We need to decide how much development or how much protection, whether to have open access or permits. Now we have choices. Later we may not. We need to set our values and goals for the Deschutes so we may proceed. The User Commission is a good forum for that process. The Deschutes River Scenic Waterway Recreation Area is a large geographical expanse. You may have had a chance to examine the map on the wall. It makes sense to have it under a unified management plan rather than several insular plans that may serve only one resource need and ignore others. Currently, this large geographical area is managed by several agencies in both state and federal governments. Agreements can be reached among them to enable cooperative management with the User Commission and to enhance the current programs that exist. Each agency is still the authority in its field. Together, their individual expertise makes a team that can't be beat. There is a need for aggressive long-term planning for managing this resource. If we do not, it will develop helter-skelter by default. The Shelby study done in 1986 documents so many impacts, it appears something needs to be done for the resource and for the users. We can't delay. We need to consider the economic impact to the nearby communities and to the state. The average user spends from $65 to $112 a day in the area. This adds up to a big dependency on the recreation area for income. We need to address ecological standards to form a baseline for future judgments of ecological damage to the river. Agencies need to see how they fit into the overall picture in managing to meet the goals of the management plan to be developed. Citizens and users need to feel they have a recreation area nearby and that the management team is responsive to their needs. The users need to be involved. Since the beginning, the agencies have pretty much run the show alone. The new commission would add a new dimension to the picture. It would consist of seven members representing non-commercial boaters, sports fishermen, permitted outfitters, land-based users such as campers and the general public, private landowners, Warm Springs Confederated Tribes, and local city or county governments. The commission would bring management into the hands of the users and cooperatively into the hands of the users and the agencies. The cooperatively developed management plan would benefit both the agencies and the users. Users know what they want in a management plan. They would like to see the river remain a recreational river, administered to allow continuance of compatible existing uses while allowing a wide range of compatible river-oriented public outdoor recreation opportunities to the extent that these do not impair substantially the natural beauty of the scenic waterway or diminish its aesthetic, fish and wildlife, scientific, and recreational values. This is from Oregon Administrative Rules. Under these guidelines, users want to maintain open access. Definitely no permit system until all other management tools have been applied. Users would like river and car camp development, sanitation stations for human waste and garbage, parking and access road improvement, signs indicating land ownership, tree and riparian zone restoration, education programs, and more volunteer programs where users can play a part. Oregonians paid for much of the land in the recreation area through gifts or taxes. Oregonians are participatory in government and like to get involved. They help put out fires like the one on Davidson Flats. They help plant trees, build fences, develop springs. They lease land for camp areas to the state. This involvement educates users about the resource, reducing their impact. This involvement builds understanding about other users and reduces conflict. There is a large movement among users on the Deschutes, many of whom were formerly opposed, to work together as a team to help the resource. All users need to share in the expense. 2/3 of the users of the on the river are land-based users. Shoreline use is the baseline for assessing ecological impacts on the river. Land-based users have needs too. They need access roads, parking, toilets, fishing access, and many other things. Currently, boaters are paying for many of these facilities. In fact, the restrooms at the Warm Springs Launch serve great numbers of people driving on the highway from Portland to Madras, Maupin, or Bend. These facilities were paid for by the Boater Pass funds. The Boater Pass system brought about many improvements. There's less crime with the new law enforcement, less fires with the new no-fire season, a cleaner river because users were educated about no-trace camping, and more facilities were developed, and better land use rules resulted in less ecological damage. There's no reason that these improvements won't continue with all users paying to use the recreation area. All the fees collected would be returned to the Deschutes recreation area budget. In fact, user fees could be much less than the current $1.75 per person per day, and with good management, accomplish more. $1 per person per day would bring in more than the current system does, because all users would be paying, giving something back to the resource they are using. I have passed out a budgetary summary with three budgets listed. The first budget is from the Parks and Recreation Division proposed budget for 87-89. The second analysis is their tentative budget for HB 3019. And the last one is a budget that would pertain to $1 per person or $1 per day user fee. I think if you'll notice by examining those three budgets that law enforcement has taken a large bite out of the projected one for 3019. And I hear that it has been decreased somewhat, so you might want to wait and see the results of that. However, we feel that within reason, the budget on the right, that amount would be appropriate for law enforcement and the other budgeted amounts for the different areas of expenses. We're not out to make a lot of money on this river. We're not out to charge all the users an exorbitant amount to go down the river and use it. We would like to cover the expenses of operation of the system, and we'd like to be self-supporting. So we'll try, hopefully we'll get a commission that will keep the budget down as low as possible. In closing, I would like to say I believe House Bill 3019 can provide the means to accomplish a great deal for the Deschutes and for the people of Oregon. It lays the base for an exemplary model for recreation management involving users. It is a first for Oregon to show the nation. We need to be careful to do the right thing, as we do in all changes. We need to lay the elements of this bill next to stringent criteria. First, is this new system effective? Second, is it reasonable? Third, does it sacrifice long-term goals? Fourth, does it consider other potential interests? Fifth, is it cost-effective? Sixth, does it minimize use consistent with river class, which is recreation in this case? And seventh, does it minimize regulation? I think we can hold House Bill 3019 up to these criteria, and it will pass with flying colors. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Sally?
My name is Mike Salee.
I'm sorry, Representative Anderson had a question.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
Did you? Oh, sure, Representative Sella.
Well, I don't know when the proper time to ask questions of this panel is.
Go ahead. I think it's appropriate now if you want to ask questions.
Number one, what state agency would the commission be under, or would it be under state agency?
It would not be, as I see it, under a state agency specifically, but it would be its mother agency, so to speak, would be State Parks and Recreation, its support agency.
Another question.
Yes, Representative.
Then the budgeting process to be approved by the legislature would be a state parks budget.
The
sub-budget or something.
There are two elements to the budget in the plan. As I see it, the various managing agencies currently contribute to the expenses on the Deschutes. And I see no reason why they probably wouldn't continue to do the amount that they're contributing now in the future, which is fairly excessive. I know Fish and Wildlife has contributed 66%, BLM a little less, and State Parks a little less. I imagine they will continue contributing this. I don't think the commission will have, well, as I see it, the commission will not have anything to do with that particular budget other than see where they're spending their resources and not duplicate expenditures from the user funds. The budget that the commission would have control over or an effective control over would be the user passes that are collected. It would determine how these would be used to meet the management plan that they developed.
We toiled here a week or so ago with an substantial increase in the Deschutes Scenic Waterway area. It would be what's commonly called the Upper Deschutes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Will the management of that area also come under this commission?
I don't know how far it could be extended. I would see that in the future there might be a possible movement to come under. I hadn't really decided, but I think that it would be appropriate for them to